Well, you know, one of the benefits of Coast to Coast is we talk with a lot of people about a lot of different things, and they have different views. Yours, of course, on 2012 and the Mayan calendar is an interesting perspective all to itself. Explain a little bit, though, about the Maya, if you can, what you know of them, why they came to do what they did, and then what happened to them.
Well, the Maya were a group of shaman. We're talking about a race that has, again, been misunderstood. It's been recently found out that their ancestry may go back at least 50,000 years before the official dates that have been given. They were obviously a shaman class, very closely connected to the Druids, I think. There's a element there, a tie-in. But what we do know about them is that they were obsessed with time. They were obsessed with the idea of the movement of the planets and with time. And more than that, they were interested in prophecy. They didn't just have one calendar that was important. They had about 22 of very accurate calendars. Of the two, the most famous ones are called the Dzogchen calendar, which is the one that's most studied. You know, it's the big round one, which has the face in the middle,
right,
and the beautiful hieroglyphics. That's actually called the Dzogchen calendar. But they had the Hunab, and they had some other ones. It just turns out that the prophecy that is causing so much controversy is connected to the Dzogchen, and is connected to the idea that they had 13 different ages. We know that all ancient peoples had creation myths in which they say that there are cycles. This is the fascinating part, is that the Native American Indians, the Zuni, the Hopi, and the Maya, just like many European ancient aboriginal groups, all believe that creation opens, comes to its peak, and then passes away. That there are, just in the same way that, say, the year is a sort of a cycle that has four seasons, and that there is a winter cycle, you know, and a creation cycle, spring. So further up the fractal, numerically speaking, there are also these phases, these phase shifts, and these rhythms and cycles. And they were obsessed by this. And of course, many of their predictions actually came right. The idea that Cortez, you know, would come and destroy their civilization. All of these things actually happened to pretty much to the day that the Maya had made their predictions. And they talk about the 13 great cycles. They talk about the four great creation myths of fire, water, air, and earth. And they talk about the 13 phases of this particular age. And they said that in 1999, somewhere between 96 and 99, the 13th age would begin. And that would run for 13 years until 2012. And when we passed by 96 and passed by into 99, the human race would be in what they refer to as an age of revealing. And this is their own words, the age of revealing or the age of revelation. And it's very, very similar to what the Bible talks about as the age of apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this has, you know, been gaining a lot of attention. Now, the interesting thing is...
that's because we're getting pretty darn close now, Michael.
That's what I was just going to say. You know, I focus a lot on this year, because at the end of this year, in November to be specific, there's an amazingly important moment in which the planet Pluto, which is the planet of revelation, the planet that reveals what is hidden, in astrological terminology or in astrological jargon, is Pluto.
Now, what do you mean by that? Because Pluto wasn't even known at that time.
It doesn't matter. We're talking, when you're talking about archetypes, it doesn't matter what stereotype a particular culture or idiom will use. The idea, or the archetypal idea, that there is something hidden that will be revealed is known in every iconography. All that changes is the iconography or the motif. So yeah, nowadays we're projecting the meaning onto a planet that has now been discovered. But the concept that we're talking about was known in ancient times and was assigned to different gods. Maybe it was Mars in the past, you see, or it was, Tezcatlipoca. In every age, you have a different agent that represents the coming. In India, for instance, you have the god Shiva. In Christian mythology, you have the idea of the reaper, you know, and the apocalypse. So there's all sorts of, or a different aspect of Christ, where he comes in with a sword, and so on. So the idioms may change, the explanations may change, but the concept of it is an eternal thing that is an archetype. In the modern parlance, we understand that this planet in the zodiac, Pluto, is about revelation. Now, it's interesting because astrologically, the planet Pluto crosses galactic center in November of this year and continues to be affecting the planet very strongly all through the year 2007. 2007 is the exact midway point between the opening of the 13-year cycle to the end of 2012.
And the opening was 1999, right?
99, exactly. Okay. So the halfway point is 2007, and the 0 year of the Maya is about 2012, December 21st, because at that point, the sun will do the same thing. On the morning of December 21st, 2012, the sun will be crossing galactic center. And the most important thing, I think, is to realize is that what galactic center is. Galactic center has always been referred to as the sun behind the sun, the center of the universe, the place from which all energy is coming. At least this was the occult idea. This was the idea that obsessed those who were into ritual, you see, and from the shamanistic tradition and from the astrological tradition. And when a planet moves in front of that location, it's almost as if a filter is put in front of a camera, or a colored light is put in front, a colored filter is put in front of a, you know, strong light. So it's sort of the color is different. The energy shifts. You know, when Pluto's energy, like a lens in front of a camera or in front of a strong light, moves in front of galactic center, in short, what it means is that there's a new type of light, a different kind of light shining to show up a different kind of dirt. It's almost like when the sunlight is coming in through your window and suddenly you see all the dust and particles that are in the air that you wouldn't have normally seen.
Right.
That's kind of what I mean psychologically.
Yeah, I look at those, Michael, and say, I'm breathing those things.
I know it. Well, the metaphor is that that's what people are going to be thinking and attitudinally tuning into in the countdown periods, have been already, and will amp up very significantly as 2007 begins. It's not a bad thing. It's a healthy thing. It's just time for it. Time wasn't before for this. Time is now. There's nothing to be afraid of when you hear terms like Asia revealing and apocalypse. It's a perfectly natural observation, which the human being is quite capable of doing. We've done it before, and it now needs to do it. In simple psychological terminology, what it refers to is merely looking at the dark side of the psyche. It means that there will be more revelations socially about kind of, you know, people, what they are behind the mask. There may be more revelations regarding corporations and individuals and showing that they're not quite the people that they appear to be and what have you. But see, again, that's a very healthy thing.
But how did the Mayans know that?
Prediction. The art of prophecy is fascinating. You've had so many guests on who have talked about this.
Sure.
The cult of prophecy from Edgar Cayce. And, you know, we're just talking about the Irish origins of civilization. My goodness, did you know that the things that we're talking about now go back 5,000 years ago? There was prophecies from ancient Irish prophets.
Of course. Yeah. All kinds of prophets.
All kinds of prophecy. So it's usually through a combination of intuition, imagination, but also scientific fact that there are cycles. Vico, Plato, they all have talked about the rise and fall of these civilizations, and they obey certain tendencies. Now, the actual mechanics of it, of how one can predict what's coming, is most extraordinarily interesting. And it actually has to do with a very simple phenomenon. And that phenomenon can be best stated, or was best stated, by the Greeks when they said that character is fate. So, and this is what my work belabors enormously, and that is that you can predict what's going to happen outside by predicting the psychological temperament of people, both individually and collective.